Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Ding, ding, and welcome to round 579 of the UK IGN podcast. Couldn't even say the name of it right. Hi, Matt.
Hello. Can you please stop?
Hello, Jesse.
Hey, how's it going, everyone?
I'm well. I'm Simon. Before we get into games, which some people probably listen to this podcast for. I'm not sure how many people do actually listen to it to hear about games or films. We've of course got to start with the big news of the week. Weetabix and beans. I must have been sent this about 100 times the other day, which, you know, I appreciate. By 6 p.m. I was a bit like, yeah, I've seen it.
Did you see, Cody? This was debated in Parliament.
Was it actually?
Yeah, it's a joke.
Fucking, like, Rees-Mogg, that top-hatted moron, just talking about beans. It wasn't actually risen by him, so I can't put all the blame on him, but he did end this up by going that he doesn't really like the idea because he doesn't like beans, but he wants Nanny's marmalade on toast. Nanny's marmalade.
Well, we'll have more grandma talk later, I'm sure. But I was going to say it's well documented. I don't know if it is. I don't like beans.
Is that just like beans in general, like every variety of
beans? Yeah, I don't
bean.
Like baked beans. Oh, no, I'm okay with like beans in a chili or like Mexican
okay.
food.
It's just
like baked
Heinz
beans.
Baked beans.
I'm not a fan of baked beans. Baked beans or Weetabix, even if you like beans and Weetabix, like together, is anyone... Like, we all know they're doing it just for the retweets, and they got them, to be fair. They did well.
You got us talking about it. I feel like a mug.
I feel like if it was offered to me, I'd take a bite. You might as well try it once.
Oh, no, Jesse.
No,
I
don't need to.
It's not going to be like... The way I imagine it, it's just going to be grainy baked beans. It's not going to inherently taste super disgusting.
Yeah, but why would I choose to... eat something I know I'm not going to enjoy.
It'd be like layers of dry slop. What do I want that for?
I don't want it, but if someone said you have to try, I'll be like, okay, I wouldn't feel bad about it.
Maybe it's the sort of thing you may need to resort to in some sort of post-apocalyptic scenario, like The Last of Us. They have cast their Joel and Ellie. We can now finally stop with the theories of... Should it be Hugh Jackman and, I don't know, Caitlin Dever? They would have been good. I think Caitlin Dever would have been great, but she is a little bit old, so I get that. She would be great Last of Us Part 2, Ellie.
But now they've cast, they can't exactly just bring in a completely different girl.
They can't. So they've gone with Pedro Pascal and...
Bella Ramsey. Well,
Bella Ramsey, that's her second name. Which... I think, personally, are good choices. Neither of them were my number one choice. But at the same time, I'm perfectly happy with both of those.
Yeah, I think, same here.
Yeah, for me, the thing that I like about it is that I think on a previous podcast, we'd all kind of like put in who we'd quite like to see. And for me, it was a very common choice of Nikolai Coster-Waldau and Caitlin Dever, just because they kind of look like the characters... do in the games. I like that neither of the actors that they've chosen look anything like or even the same nationality as the characters as they are. And so for me, this opens the door to I don't want to watch the game that I've played. I want to watch a new interpretation of that story. I'd much rather a translation rather than an adaptation. And so the idea of Pedro Pascal coming in and playing Joel, he will be a different Joel. He'll have the same aspects of his story, presumably. There'll be, you know, all the tragedy in his backstory and all of that that brings to it. But maybe they can bring some of Pedro's actual kind of like background and nationality and kind of like some of his own stuff to the story. Because The Last of Us is mostly a lot of shooting, which TV shows tend to be a bit more dialogue heavy. So The idea to expand the story and bring what those actors can bring
it's not like really either of the two main characters in the games, their background doesn't really mean a thing, does it? Like, no one cares where they're from. Like, you've got somebody's from, is it San Antonio, I think, Joel's from? Well, he's living at the start of the first one, anyway.
By the way, it doesn't add so much whether or not they're from one state or another, or even another country, really. Yeah.
I would say before that second season of The Mandalorian, I would have been a bit more, like, wary of Pedro Pascal, but I think he shows a lot more emotion. And I have, to be fair, I haven't seen him. I've seen him in Game of Thrones and that, and
I haven't seen him in much else, really.
Like, but he showed, like, really, like, I'm not going to spoil The Mandalorian in case you haven't seen it, because, you know, it's still fairly new, but, like, he definitely shows emotion in that. I'm well up for him. I still would, John Hamm would still be my first choice, I think.
Oh, really?
I'd love to see him do that.
I mean, Hamm is good, isn't he? He's got the good pork. I don't know why I just said that.
The good pork?
I mean, I'm not saying if John Hamm turned up and he got the good pork, I'm not going to say I'd walk away.
Would he have his pork and beans with Weetabix, though?
That's even worse now.
But yeah, I think the main thing I do want is Bella Ramsey to keep her very northern accent from Game of Thrones for Ellie. I'm not going to try and do a bad northern accent. It's not going to happen. But to me, it'd be funny.
She's scenario. Really, I think kind of like Pedro Pascal's obviously had the limelight on this casting scene because everybody knows who he is. But like, Bella Ramsey is great in Game of Thrones. Like, she is, for a young actor, I think really for the small scenes that she had, quite high up there. But she's brilliant in, she's in the, have you watched the second series of His Dark Materials?
I didn't know, I fell off of it.
So she's in that, and she's got a little bit of Ellie to that, in kind of like a young child kind of out of their depth and trying to survive. And then she's the voice of Hilda in Hilda, and that's very good. That's really nice. But that's a charming cartoon.
Yeah.
Not a dark zombie thriller. So
but yeah, I am excited. It's still a while away yet, you'd imagine. I mean, I don't think they'll be shooting. Well, I don't know. Maybe they will be shooting sometime soon. But
it does mean that Joel's going to be very handsome. Even more so handsome than last time. So
they
I'm quite happy.
Rough him up.
Yeah, I know, but like, Pedro's a nice looking chap, you know, so I'm just happy that we're getting him on TV.
So you prefer handsome Pedro over John Hamm's perfect walk, or whatever it was?
100%. More handsome Pedro for me, please.
Okay. Let's actually talk about some game, because I'm sure some people will want us to do that.
Yeah, why not?
Please do write in if you do, because, you know, we're just happy to talk about beans for an hour if you want us to. The game that swept Steam, Valheim, Jesse.
Mm.
Over a million people have bought this in early access already, which is quite impressive for a game I first heard of a couple of weeks ago. And I'm not going to lie, I saw it and went, this doesn't look very good. But now everyone thinks it's amazing. I've played it for only like half an hour to an hour, but these sort of games, just survival games, they aren't my thing. And I know it's not really for me, I don't think. But why is this such a good survival game, Jesse?
I mean, like you mentioned, it did kind of come out of nowhere. And I've never really been big into survival games. Like, when Minecraft first came out in alpha and beta, like, I jumped into that and recently finished The Forest with Dale. But those are entirely different experiences. But when it comes to those kind of core survival games, like Ark Survival Evolved and Rust and stuff, I've just never been into them. But with Valheim, it's really weird, because it's just suddenly come out of nowhere and you have a game that already feels near enough complete despite it being in early access. And in case you don't know what it is, it's described as like a brutal exploration and survival game on its Steam page, and it's set within this Viking world set within this Viking world of Valheim, which is like the 10th like Norse world or something like
realm.
That. But it's generally just a really good survival game. The world itself, and I've only put 10 hours into it with someone else, IGN as well, because we're doing like a co-op playthrough, but the world is ginormous. It's probably the biggest map I've ever seen in a survival game, to be honest. And it's a harsh game to play, but it's also fairly forgiven as well, because in a lot of other survival games, you know, there's penalties when it comes to hunger and thirst, or like when you're crafting stuff. But with Valheim, it's fairly forgiven. Like the difficulty in the game lies within the enemies and the world itself, not really the game mechanics, because making sure to eat food or craft in things and even leveling up is really easy. For example, we're building up a base and then we wanted to move it. You can just simply take it down and all the resources you used simply pop back into your inventory, which is fairly refreshing given how a lot of survival games you have to knock something down and you essentially lose everything. But I haven't really described the premise, which is you're hunting five specific bosses across the world, all Viking related and spooky and whatnot. But it's hard to describe because there's so much to do and I've only put 10 hours into it.
See, this is why I'm so bad at survival games, I think, because you're just penalized for thirst and I'm just such a thirsty boy, you know what I mean?
That's dreadful.
You know what I mean, Matt?
Oh yeah, they've got bottles of Overwatch female characters just waiting for you to drink, Cardi.
That's great.
Okay, that sounds worse than it should be. But it was more just a self-deprecating joke. You don't actually have to lay into me, it's fine.
That's what I'm aiming for, Cardi.
Yeah, but yeah, like I said, I only played half an hour to an hour just to check it out and quickly realized it's not for me. Basically, all I did in my half an hour was learn how to run, walk into some, like, five goblin creatures with, like, I don't know, like, gas bags on their back, get killed by them so I had no weapons, and then wake up again and go, this isn't for me.
So, Jesse, I'm assuming it's like a classic survival game in that when you die, you're dead and you effectively have to start your journey again.
Well, so when you die, like, it leaves like a little tombstone exactly where you died. So if that was near your spawn, you can simply run back, get all your items back. And there's a leveling up system in the game as well. So literally everything you do, like if you jump a few times, you know, level up your jump. And it's similar to
Skyrim.
Oblivion, kind of. Like anything you do, you can jump for like throughout your entire game. And that's the only thing you'll level up. But yeah, you can just pick up all your items again after you've died. And that's the weird thing. It doesn't feel like the game mechanics themselves don't feel particularly punishing, but when it comes to the enemies and even just like the world you're traversing itself, that's where it's tough. Even trees are deadly. Like you can chop down a tree and it'll land on you and kill you instantly. Like, cause like when you're playing Minecraft and stuff, everything just kind of floats and it's simple like that. But
so it's got like a physics kind of element to the.
Yeah. So when, Ronnie and I were building like a little mountain base, there were a bunch of goblins coming up the mountain. So we chopped down a few trees, it rolled down and killed them all and stuff. And that's what able to be safe. But there's just there's really cool individual moments, like when we have to hunt down a new boss now that we haven't been able to encounter yet, except we have to travel the ocean to get to this new place. And the map is, it's mad how huge this map is. But we finally built our little craft and we're sent out into the ocean and we come across this little island and we decide to jump on it. And like, there's like, I forgot the terms, but, oh crap, it's like when barnacles, that's it.
Right.
Like there's barnacles on this island and stuff, so we start picking at them and then suddenly the island shifts a little bit and we thought it was just a normal island and then we keep picking at it again and suddenly
turtle or something.
We didn't get a chance to really see what it was, but the whole thing raised up and then suddenly just dived back into the ocean and then we just went back on our craft and continued exploring. But it's mad because that's just set within one biome. That was a little adventure we had that took place over an hour or so, and there's so much more to discover. There's portals in the game, there's trade networks, there's other characters you can trade with as well and stuff. Like there's all these things we haven't discovered yet and we've only gone through one little island.
When you say there's like places to trade at and stuff like that, are there actual kind of like NPC towns that are closer to almost RPG-ish?
But that's the thing, from what I've heard, because I'm trying to keep spoiler free, which is kind of the first time I've ever done that with a survival game, but from what I've heard, there are NPCs you can trade with because there is gold in the game as well that you can use and that I found. But there's, like I said, there's still so much to explore. And the combat itself is really good, too. There's a bunch of different weapons. You can parry, dodge, you know, quick movements is key when it comes to, you know, fighting against the bevy of enemies there's featured in this game. But I think mostly it's just the fact that it works really well. It looks really good, too, surprisingly, considering it's in early access. And it's just easy to play with your mates. Unlike, you know, other survival games where you have to rent a private server or use stuff like Hamachi and stuff, you can just set up a server from your PC and you can invite, you know, up to 9 other players. It's just a really well-made.
I didn't know you could have that many people. Because that would make it a lot more interesting. Like, playing that by myself was a very lonely experience, but I imagine playing with people does make it a lot more fun.
Yeah.
Is the idea, Jesse, that you play with, because I've not played survival games for quite a while, and sort of like when I was playing them was the start of the survival boom on Steam. So my experience is stuff like DayZ and Rust, in which case the idea was that you were always on a permanent server, and with DayZ especially, it was a case of it'd be me and my mate trying to survive, and then a bunch of dickheads that had managed to equip themselves with the best gear would just come and shoot us for sport.
Yeah. This, like, this game Valheim isn't more... like, it's not like that at all. So when you start the game, you obviously create your own character, and that character transfers from whatever world you join. So I can create a character, and if I'm hunting for a specific item or a biome that I might herd that my friend's server has, I can join his server with my complete character, grab whatever I need and come back to my world. But there is like a toggle if you want to enable PvP. But I think the game really has a focus on PvE rather than, you know, dealing with trolls or dealing with the, like, combat from other players, because it really is meant to be a cooperative experience. Mm-hmm. You know, you're building specific bases, you're hunting for these bosses, and like I said, the world is truly humongous. I feel like if we all jumped on a server and, like, just played for a couple hours or whatever, I think it'd be probably the most enjoyable survival experience you guys might have had compared to other games you might have played before.
It sounds like kind of like, I think No Man's Sky has had such a huge impact on the survival genre, because obviously that is much more about, well, certainly originally was about playing on your own because they didn't add the multiplayer to later, but that was about that idea of the not being, you're not sport for each other. It's kind of like about exploring and enriching your own sort of like experience. And then it sounds like there may be a little bit of a roguelike element to it. You know how kind of like in Dead Cells or in Hades, it's about, like, when you die, you still leveled up on that progress. You still had some investment into your character. And that, I think, being able to say, well, at least my character got better. I might have lost everything, but my character is better now. That feels a bit more appealing.
Yeah, it's just, it's not as punishing as you would think it'd be. Even if, like, when I was playing Yesse, for example, the person I was playing co-op with, he died once, and then when we tried to get back to get his gear, he died again. And it's not like he lost his gear the first time around. Those two tombstones were still there. Right. So it's not as punishing as, like, when you die, you immediately lose stuff if you die again. And it's just other things as well, like not having to really deal with hunger. You can instantly repair all of your items as soon as once you get to a workbench. If you want to build something, the game tells you straight away. So there's none of the guesswork, like when you're playing Minecraft, trying to figure out specific blueprints and stuff. It's just weird how well the game plays, and it is just really quite fun.
My one last question about it is it like a set designed world, or is there like random generation?
It's completely procedurally generated. In my own playthrough, like, I spawned on this humongous landmass and I haven't even seen any water yet, but when I started playing co-op on a new server I created, there's like a couple few islands we're on, and we've been able to explore, you know, a decent chunk of an ocean, but that's still a small section of the map. And when you open the map, it's like a ring or disc rather. We've given ourselves the objective of trying to go to the ends of the earth because we don't know what might appear there. But that's the thing. It's one of those kind of self-objectives where you can absolutely expect something to happen. It's just like the story I told before where we found this creature within the water and it's disappeared. I can imagine there's tons more crazy and like mythical beasts all around the world.
Have you managed to actually beat any of those five bosses?
We've beaten the first boss, which ends up being this like humongous elk kind of thing where like this kind of rock track plays when you're fighting it. So it is really kind of bizarre, but it's genuinely really cool. And the combat is good as well.
Was it like, was it difficult or was it?
No, it was difficult. Like there's certainly enemies which you wouldn't want to face, you know, as soon as you spawn in. It's not like the game kind of like auto balances stuff. We had to like, you know, gear ourselves up a decent amount before we could take on the boss. But we ended up doing it.
Maybe. I'll give it another shot with people. Maybe. It's a big maybe. That tends to suggest I probably won't. But, you know, I might do. Who knows? But yeah, grab this on Early Access, just on PC at the moment. Valheim, if you want to check that out. Something you can play, I believe, is out today, is Little Nightmares 2. I think we've all played this, but to varying amounts. Has anyone actually finished
it? Yeah, I finished it.
I finished it early this morning.
Right. I've played about an hour and a half to 2 hours, maybe. I'm in like I think I'm near the end of the second area, I'd guess. I don't know. It's been going on a little while. I'm in a school kind of area. Yeah. But yeah, it's... So I remember playing a bit of the first Little Nightmares, and I have very similar feelings about both of them, which is... I never actually finished the first one, but I really like the tone, and I really like the way they're able to tell a great horror story without pretty much any dialogue whatsoever.
Mm.
But I do just find the gameplay a little bit... I don't know. It's harsh to say rudimentary, because it's just a bit... It's nothing new, if you know what I mean.
There's
it's
a lot of pushing and pulling and stuff like that.
Like, if you don't know what the Little Nightmares games are, they're side-scrolling puzzle... They're a bit of platforming, like puzzles. They're very similar to games like Limbo or Inside, if you've played those.
Yeah,
they're very much built on those models.
Yeah, they're kind of within the same kind of school of thought, but as you say, kind of like they're not as accomplished on the puzzle design. I do think I get the impression off this base thing that I have a lot more affection for these games than either of you two, because for me, Little Nightmares 2 was a game that I think I probably would have rated an 8, but I enjoyed like a 9. I came out of it like really having loved it, despite knowing that its controls need to be a bit tighter because it's got almost like a 2.5D perspective. There's a certain amount of depth to the levels which can make some jumps a bit awkward, make not quite knowing
I had
where
that
to.
Earlier, yep.
Yeah, but I think as a horror design, because it's obviously it's from the perspective of it's what frightens you as a child, right? Is the way that it bases it, and I think this game especially has a lot better enemy design because, as you say, there's like the school to which it's like teachers and bullies. And then there's kind of like, there's a hospital you go to, which obviously as a kid, I was terrified of doctors. And kind of like that, I think the enemy design is more interesting from that perspective. And I think it has about in the hospital section, genuinely what I think is one of the best horror mechanics I've ever seen in a game. Like
yeah,
it is genuinely.
That section was a particular highlight.
Yeah. Actually, I think,
not going to spoil the game.
I don't think it's necessarily a spoiler to explain roughly what's going on in there, but it's a riff on, if you know, the Doctor Who idea of the Weeping Angels, where like, when you're looking at them, they'll stay still. And when you're not looking at them, they can come at you. It's that. And with the kind of like certain limitations on the control scheme it's got, that works as one of the most effective horror films.
That sounds like, my grievance repeated, which is that is just a mechanic from Inside, but with the girl in the water. But
there's a certain amount of that.
Exactly. But at the same time, I think I did a tweet the other day, which is similar to what I'm saying, is they are kind of, they're not doing anything new, but at the same time, I am enjoying playing it, and mainly because no one else is doing that at the moment, because Playdead do take about 5 or 6 years per game at least. So that not many people do games like this, and I will like repeat, like the style again is unbelievable, like just the design of like the creatures or people in it are just amazing. Like the enemy, the main like boss like enemy in the school, the first time they do something you're not expecting it is very surprising, and it's just, it's almost like, it's almost weirdly like they're plasticine. Like it's hard to work out what they're
it's
made
like weird
out of.
Leathery
in a
kind of plasticky, just so, weird substance.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of Henry Selick's kind of artistic design, and he's obviously one of Leica's animators and directors. So it's kind of got that Coraline look to it to a degree. But like you say, it does for a game that. Like, it's obviously not a photorealistic game, but it looks more real than quite a lot of photorealistic games because it looks like it's made of puppets rather than anything fleshy.
And it's certainly got the weight to it as well when you're interacting with items or just jumping off things as well. Like that, it kind of grounds the world despite being so, you know, bleak and dark and depressing.
Yeah. It's just a game full of just odd textures that you don't normally seem to feel in, like, games. Like, especially, like, there's one bit where, like, you can, like, pick up hammers, and I think you did a Twitter clip for it the other day, and I just played through that bit where you can basically just smash people with a hammer and they're just basically made out of porcelain. And it's very satisfying. And but that's also another one, I think, is like you said, the controls could be better. Like they only use about half the buttons on the controller, but sometimes there's just no need. Like I don't understand why when I do that attack, I have to hold in one button and press another. Mm-hmm. Like, why do I have to keep it held in?
Yeah, because it's a case of, like, I guess from its perspective is that you're holding the tool. Mm-hmm. So the hold is, like, you drag things around because it's very much a push and pull game. Because that's the thing with the combat. I think there's kind of, like, it's easy to see it, like, oh, they put combat in Little Nightmares. They didn't put combat in Little Nightmares. What they've done is they've put a timing puzzle in it that just happens to be the way that you see it is smashing a little porcelain doll with a hammer.
Yeah.
And so it is a timing.
I really had, to be fair.
I just really
like the instant death kind of thing. Like, I do enjoy it, and especially the feeling when you're using, like, a DualSense controller. Like, you can feel the weights, and it feels very responsive and nice. But just because, like, a lot of the... near enough every encounter in the game is instant death if you fail. Sometimes having to restart and then even just respawn in, like the animation of having to get your character up, it only takes a few seconds, but that does count up and it does get a bit frustrating for me at least.
Yeah, I do enjoy it overall. I've sat a little down there, but I do enjoy the Little Nightmares games. They've got a lot of, I was going to say charm, but it's almost the opposite of charm. It's just horrifying and disturbing a lot of time. It's also, it's weird because it's obviously you are playing as a child kind of, but a child that's even smaller than an actual child, like the perspective is another deal altogether. But it kind of is like a kid's game, but at the same time, I don't know what kid wouldn't be absolutely terrified. It's a hard game. Like, what age do you recommend this to someone?
Well, I mean, it's kind of like, it's rated as 16 because obviously there is some fairly nasty, gnarly bit. It's got no blood in it, but it can be quite gnarly. Did you ever used to watch, was it Gruesome Tales for Disgusting Kids or whatever it was?
Yeah.
It's kind of got that kind of vibe to it, right? In that it's kind of, it's really gross and grim, but it never outwardly goes to anywhere too dark. But, certainly, like, the first Little Nightmares, by the time you get to the end of it, has gone somewhere incredibly grim in its storytelling, and this does the same.
Yeah.
And it's also worth noting that it is a direct sequel, which I didn't realize. So Six is in it, who was the character from, you know, the girl in the yellow Mac. Yeah. And she's in this, and she's kind of like a friend of Mono, who is the little boy with a paper bag on his head in this. and kind of like where that, as you say, Cardi, it's a story that's told without any verbal kind of conversation at all.
Yeah.
But I do think it does a very good job at demonstrating their relationship over the game and kind of like how their dynamic shifts a lot as it goes around and kind of like sometimes you're split up, sometimes you're together, and you can tell the kind of emotional connection they've got despite the fact they can't see any of their faces, right? Like, one's got a paper bag on and the other has like a hood all over her face.
Yeah.
I think they do that very well.
I would say that I never finished the first one, so I'm playing this one kind of not knowing it was a direct sequel, but I don't feel like at the same time I'm missing out. Like, I think you could just play this one. I'm sure there's stuff that would mean more to you. I don't know if you can say, towards that.
Towards the end of it, kind of like the last chapter of the game, kind of like when you're in its kind of... And that's actually when it has some really nice puzzles that I think it would have been nice to have bought something as inventive as that to the start of the game. So it doesn't feel as much like the first one. But yeah, I think the way it concludes will mean something to you if you played the first one to completion, whereas it won't. Yeah.
I was thinking about stopping and going back to the first one and playing it before carrying on this one, but I'll see.
This one is better. I recommend both of them. So, like, just do that.
I'd recommend these games. Like, if you do like games like Inside and Limbo, then I would recommend them. Just don't expect something to quite that standard. Whereas, like, those games are a 9 and a 10 to me, probably. Like, Little Nightmares and Little Nightmares 2 are probably a 7 and an 8. Like, they're both still good games.
Yeah.
But, you know.
And there has been a lack of horror games recently, anyhow. You've got the Medium and this, really, to play in terms of new releases.
Yeah. And I feel like, some people, like, I definitely forgot how dark these games were when I started playing the second one. Like, they are proper horror games. Like, they're not, feel like, because it's a 2D puzzler, people like, how scary can it be? And it's not that it's scary necessarily, but
when you're getting chased,
it's definitely unsettling
it?
At times.
Yeah. I think it just it the way it deals with horror is actually very different to a lot of how a lot of horror games work, because normally all the stuff you're supposed to be scared of is very much in the dark, whereas actually it's you that's in the dark in this. You're hidden, and because it's a third person perspective, you can actually see these horrendous, disgusting creatures on screen, and so it does create a different dynamic. But as you say, like, it might not have your heart racing in quite the same way that something like Alien Isolation or Amnesia does, but it certainly it twists those buttons. And as I say, the stuff with in the hospital where you've got to keep your eyes on enemies, that really did it for me.
Yeah, so well,
can't wait for that. but yeah, do you know what else I can't wait for? Another entry into the Endless Search. Inside is the UK IGN crew. Yeah, and the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Hold tight, the DJ, we coming through. Yeah, and the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Is it in the search? This week, we have got an email from John from Hong Kong.
Hello, John.
Who's sending?
Hello.
There you go. Sent in a suggestion for us to play on the Endless Search, which has an email attached, which I'll read now. He says, "You're right, lads. How's it gunning?" I'm guessing he's maybe from Newcastle or the surrounding area, because that sounds very Geordie to me. And apologies for that accent. I can't go a whole episode without doing a bad accent.
Get friend of the podcast Lucy James in. She can just record that, and then we can just drop that in.
I will be getting a WhatsApp message from her when she listens to that, saying, "What was that?" Anyway, John says, "Simple game. You have to guess the identities of the following people or characters using only yes or no answers." So it's kind of a riff on 20 questions, which we did a few weeks back. But it's slightly different, and here's where it's different. Player one will ask one question, and if the answer is yes, he or she will get to ask another question and another until the answer is no. It will then be players two turn to ask a question, and they keep going back and forth until you get a no answer, basically. Very simple. John did send in some suggestions for characters we could do this with. I've used one of them, but then done a few of our own that I think more tailored to Jesse and Matt here.
And they're just characters. It's not like a game. It's a character from a game.
They're all fictional characters. Some are in games, some are in films. Some may have crossover, so be careful with how you word your questions.
Mm.
But basically, yeah, you have yes or no questions, and you can only guess who the person is when it's your turn. I've got five here. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how long each one takes. You may only do three. We'll see. But do you know what? I'm going to go hip dip do in my head. Jesse, you're going first. So the first character, just kick off any question you want to know, yes or no.
Does this character know how to handle firearms?
How cheap, like... I thought you'd ask a bit...
The most Jesse question you could possibly have asked.
It nails down yes. some things.
Yes.
Does the character drive...
I mean, there's
drive
some characters I might not know if they...
That's fine.
You're going to have this.
I'm going to assume you know the answers. Does the character commandeer any sort of vehicle throughout their journey?
You have to answer one that's kind of a bit... I would say personally, no.
Okay. Matt?
Is this character primarily known from being in a film?
No. Jesse. I don't know why I'm counting these. I'm going to count these on my things.
Was this character...
All we know so far is they can handle firearms.
And they're not a film character.
No, not a film character. There we go.
Was this character created by a Japanese development team?
No.
It's my turn again, right?
There's some very broad questions you could be narrowing down. Right. So.
Cardi?
Yes.
Is this character... from a game that is primarily single player?
Yes.
Is this character female?
No, I get to go.
Shit.
It's yes. Come on. Learn the game. Read the rules and understand them.
There you go. You're able to use your line.
Is this character from a Sony first party exclusive game?
Yes.
Is this character from a Naughty Dog game?
No.
Ooh. Jesse, over to you.
Is this character from a From Software game?
No. We've got firearms.
Yeah.
Sony first party.
Yeah.
It's kind of... Is that all the?
And it's not. And it's not a Naughty Dog game. So
not Naughty Dog. Doesn't really drive vehicles.
No. Oh, it's not Deacon St. John then, is it? What else could it be? Sony first party, single player.
Yes.
Uses guns.
Mm. Firearms.
Firearms. I mean, that's a gun, isn't it?
God, it could be toying with us.
Is this from PlayStation 4 generation?
Toy. Yes.
Are they male?
No.
Ah.
Well, that's narrowed it down a bit, hasn't it?
Jesse?
Is this character from Horizon Zero Dawn?
Yes. Can you remember their name?
No, because I haven't played the fucking game.
You've let yourself down.
Yeah.
You have to... If you don't know it, then you know it's going to be very hard. You might have to ask.
Just pass it across.
What do they begin with, or something, to try and get a yes out?
Give it to me, Jesse.
Wait, no. I remember. Is this character Aloy? Is it? How do you?
I'll let you off. It's Aloy.
Okay,
it's,
Aloy. There we go.
I'll let you off on that.
Aloy.
I know you're quite distraught about that.
Yeah, I mean,
sorry, Matt.
My girl doesn't use firearms. It's a bow and arrow, no. Mate.
But she has like bombs and like a bow gun sort of thing, doesn't she?
Okay.
It's a firearm, I would say. Like the bow, like the more, there is like a more, there's like a rail gun she has, isn't there?
Is there a rail gun in her?
Is it a rail gun or like a machine gun variant?
Spoilers.
There is.
No, I'm joking.
She definitely has like a,
she's got the
like
slingshot.
A rapid fire.
And the, oh, yeah, I get what you mean. There's like the crossbowy thing, isn't there?
Yeah, I would say she uses firearms. And the one about vehicles, I was like, well, she does ride a mechanical dinosaur, but that's not really, or a bull even. Yeah. Anyway, that's, we'll do all five of these. Why not? We've got time. That's 1-0 to Jesse. I'm so sorry, Matt, but you do get to go first on this one, and it's character number two.
Okay. Is this character primarily from a video game?
Yes.
Yes. Is this character male?
Yes.
Yes. There we go. Is this character in a single-player game?
Yes. What a start. What a start. Yeah.
Is this character a PlayStation-exclusive character?
No.
No.
Is this character Agent 47?
Yes.
What the fuck?
How have you done that?
I just knew. It had to be. It had to be him.
What do you mean it had to be?
He's the only man
video game character.
He's the most male dude out of like all cross-gen platform guys. He's
what,
the most vanilla
male
looking
than
guy.
Fucking Chris Redfield.
What are you on about?
Nah. Oh, I got it.
I mean, good guess, but you know, still bizarre that you've guessed that. But there you go. Sorry again, Matt, you know, to Jesse, but there's plenty of time.
I'm the one that's actually doing quite well in this game.
You're doing the hard
hey, let's
work.
Not, let's not take the piss now.
Okay, number three, Jesse, you get to go first.
Do you control this character in the first person perspective?
No. You've assumed a lot there.
Cardi. Is this character yes. primarily known for a film appearance?
Yes.
There we go. Is this character from a film post 2010?
No.
No.
None of these are going to be obscure people, by the way. I'm not being, you know, it's not extra four in something.
I'm stuck.
Just a film before 2010. He's, we've got
I ain't got
we've
a
got
clue
him.
Now. Does this character make use of a sword?
No. Like, no. And if they do, it's not memorable. Like, at any point.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm happy with that answer.
Okay. Is this character a man?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Is this character an action star?
That's, No.
Is...
Well, it's Jesse's go now. It's a no.
Oh, of course.
I'm so sorry.
This is going to be dumb. Is this character portrayed by Mads Mikkelsen?
No.
Just wanted to guess. Sometimes you have to throw him out there.
Look, if that had been a yes, I would have said, how have you hacked my Google Drive?
Is this character a dramatic character, as in kind of like, is it from like not a sci-fi or a fantasy or
no, if that's what you've just put out there, I would say no.
Is this character from a film?
Yes.
Released in the year of 2005.
No.
Is this character a superhero, Cardi?
No.
Is this character a villain?
No. It's a good question, though. It's a good question. Could narrow down times or...
Yeah, I think... Like, is this character from post-2000?
No.
Does this character have a sidekick?
That's... Is it a sidekick? I would say they have, like, a companion that's well-known. So I'll go, like, yes. I wouldn't say they're a sidekick, if you know what I mean. But they go on adventures with another person, let's put it that way.
Does this character have a love interest?
Yes. Quick game is a good game.
I'm trying to think here. Okay. Does this character live in England?
No.
Okay.
Is this character able to pilot a starship?
No. Not that I know of. I mean, I don't know all their skills.
I mean, they haven't. Who I thought it might have been is definitely a starship pilot. So,
is this character from a comedy film?
It's definitely a funny film. I don't know if you'd label it a comedy, but it definitely has a lot of humour in it, I would say.
Is this character violent?
They have committed violence. So I wouldn't say they're a violent person. But there is some action.
Is this character from a Disney film?
No.
Okay.
Has this character...
I thought one of these might take a while, You never know.
Has this character travelled in time?
Yes.
Right.
You have to get this one.
you can narrow it down and ask as many yes questions as you like.
Did this character travel in time using a car?
Yes.
Is this character younger than their sidekick?
Yes.
Is this character Marty McFly?
It is Marty McFly.
Imagine how mad it would be if it wasn't.
I wouldn't call Doc Brown a sidekick, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Kind of, he's a friend. He's a weird older friend. I was hoping you'd go, is he in a game? And that would confuse you completely because there is the Back to the Future game. But there we go. Matt's pulled one back. It's 2-1 to Jesse with two left to play. And Matt to go first as well.
Okay. Is this character from a video game?
Yes.
Is this character a man?
No.
Oh.
Does this character have a military background?
No. It's always with the guns or the war.
Well, no, because most of fucking games involve violence or some bullshit like that, so it's an easy way to narrow it down.
Is this character from a multiplayer game?
No.
is this character particularly skilled at rock climbing?
No.
Okay.
Not all women are Tomb Raider.
Not all women are rock climbers, I thought you were going to say.
Sometimes you have to narrow it down.
Was this character created by a Japanese company?
No.
Was this character created by Naughty Dog?
No. Oh.
Is this character from an RPG?
No.
Is this character a teenager?
Yes.
Is the character from an EA game?
No.
Is this character playable?
Yes.
Is this character from a PlayStation exclusive?
No.
No.
Is this character from the Walking Dead series?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Is this character Clementine? Is that her name?
It is Clementine from the Walking Dead. You got that one a bit quicker than I thought you would, compared to, I suppose, Marty McFly. It could have been a lot of people. But yeah
anything with films, knowledge is going to lack a little bit.
Jesse's 1-1, but there's still one to go. One more to do, which we'll do. We'll do quickly.
I can already see this will be a mess. I can sense it.
It's you first, Jesse. 3-1 up. But can he get 4-1? So everyone wants to know. Play along at home.
Does this character wield a sword?
I don't remember them doing it, but yeah. Also, wouldn't be surprised.
So is that a yes?
I would say no. No, okay. I would say no. I would say I'm 95% sure they don't.
Okay.
Is this character from a film?
Yes.
No.
Is this character from a sci-fi film?
Yes.
Is this character from a sci-fi film post 2010?
No.
No.
Is this character from a horror series?
No.
Is this character from a sci-fi series originating in 1977?
No.
No.
Oh.
See where you were going with that.
Oh, now I'm fucked.
I don't think you are.
Is this character a leader?
Yes, yeah.
Does this character die?
I mean, that's spoilers, isn't it?
that's an old-ass film, presumably.
It's somewhere between 2010 and the start of the universe, so it's not necessarily old.
Just let me look at how something ends. I can't 100% remember. I was right in my theory that it is a no.
I don't think I've not established. Is this character male?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Is this character from the 2000s?
I mean, I would say that they were in the 2000s. They didn't originate in the 2000s. So
okay.
They bled into the 2000s.
Okay. This is a very specific one, but for the lulz. Did this character originally have a job they were very dissatisfied with?
I think I know what you're asking, and I'm pretty sure that that is a yes. It's been a little while since I've watched it.
So it's not on your top lists.
It's a film I very much love, but I can't remember that, like, first bit, like, what they were doing at the start of it.
And it's a sci-fi film.
Yeah. I think, yes, from memory, yeah, he's not happy.
Okay, is this character offered the choice of two pills?
Yes.
Oh my god.
Is this character Neo?
Is Neo from The Matrix, yeah. He is like a computer programmer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's like in a shitty office, isn't he?
I just couldn't remember if he's happy doing that or not.
Yeah.
But there we go, Neo, 3-2 to Jesse, but a well-played game.
Yeah, that was very
fun. I enjoyed that one. It was simple, but, you know, effective. It really did make you think, didn't it?
Certainly right. Did.
Since we didn't have a lot to talk about this week, why not a bit of double feedback?
Read them!
Emails!
Read them and understand them!
Dear me.
Matthew, you are up first.
Okay, I'll take the podium. This is from Dan Metcalf, who... Is that Metcalf? Is that how you pronounce it?
I'd say Metcalf.
I'd say Metcalf. I don't know.
Metcalf. Yeah. I do apologise, Dan, just sitting here on... Not live on air, but on air, butchering your name. Anyway, hello all. First of all, love the podcast. Been listening for many years, blah, blah, blah. Your conversation about grandmas making and eating weird food was very reminiscent of a similar discussion I had with some friends. I started off with my nan. Nothing too bizarre in my eyes. Whenever she looked after us in the evening, I would get a sliced up apple with a pile of sugar to dip in and reverse any of the healthy benefits of eating an apple. Which I guess is kind of like a toffee apple without the sugar melting down to produce toffee.
Yeah, it's similar.
The only thing I will now question is why you would give that to a child before bed. Yeah, I'd imagine the sugar probably gives you a bit of a sugar high, right?
Yeah.
But anyways, that's nothing compared to my mate's grandma. The sicko. He doesn't say that. That's my interjection there. He then went on to say that whenever she would cook sausages, usually Richmond's, she would keep a raw one on the side as a snack.
What the fuck does that mean?
Well, listen up, young Jesse. This is what it means. He first witnessed this when she was cooking a full English, and after putting the raw sausages in the pan, grabbed one and took a bite out of it like you would a carrot. The conversation ended with him as we were all fascinated and horrified. Thankfully, he didn't pick up his grandma's sausage-munching habits. Thanks again for the countless hours of entertainment, and for Christ's sake, respect the sea.
Why are you eating raw sausages? Why?
You're going to have to really pull on that case in as well, if you're taking a bite out of it.
You've got a pan next to you, just cook it.
We all could be missing out, though, on Grandma's sausage recipe technique, and it could be brilliant.
I don't know.
I'm not sold, but there has to be something she enjoyed out of it.
It'd just be all, like, wet and mushy.
Maybe she enjoyed like, challenging her body and would eat one raw sausage a day.
Challenging her body by eating a raw sausage.
You want cold sausage, they do sell it at the delicatessen. Like, you don't have to eat an uncooked sausage.
Yeah. A lot of people, you know, I don't know, I'll run a half marathon. No, I'll just eat a raw sausage to challenge my body.
You can build up the immunity to something, who knows?
Jesus Christ. Well, I'm sure that's not where this will end, Jesse.
This is from Anthony Lawson. The subject is microwaved meat. Hello, guys.
It's always a good start.
Yeah. Talking about foodstuffs, at the age of around 10, I used to cook bacon and sausages in the microwave when my mum and dad were at work. A quick and tasty snack, I'm sure you would all agree. When I got even more lazy, I used to squeeze out the raw meat from a sausage skin, having no idea at all. I was eating a heavily processed raw pork / chicken feet combo. Anyone else used to microwave for defying food law? No. Not at all.
Anthony, do you know Dan's grandma? Yeah. Is there like a British raw sausage eating, like, cult we should know about or something?
I mean, is there any food you guys have microwaved that probably didn't need to be? Like, what's the weirdest thing you might have microwaved? Because I can't.
My microwave? I don't know. I don't tend to risk my health with my food.
Microwave is for reheating stuff. Like, the idea of putting bacon in a microwave, you're not going to get the whole joy of bacon is when it goes all like crispy and slightly snappy on the edges. You're not going to get that by pelting it with radiation.
Wouldn't it just explode all over the microwave as well?
Yeah. I know he was only a kid, but you can cook bacon in 5 or 10 minutes as well. Like, it's very quick. Like,
is it safer to cook the bacon in a microwave in terms of a, child, handling cookware? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
It's safer, but not for your insides. But not... I'm surprised you're still with us, Anthony. I hope you're well. But, well, you're obviously not well, but, you know. I mean, I can't remember. We're just squeezing the inside of a sausage out and eating it raw. Not for me.
Gross, man.
That's just an image, like a really grotesque
image.
That's
like a Little Nightmares kind of thing, just like this old plasticky grandma's like chowing down on sausage meat.
Give them ideas for Little Nightmares 3, raw sausage eating grandmas. No. I've got a piece of feedback from CJ, who is part of Code Marla, who do the Endless Search theme tune. So there you go.
Nice.
He says, last week an American CJ wrote in with his weird Nan's biscuit and cheese concoction, and this week you have a British CJ writing in to share his to shame his Nan too, even. Not share his Nan. When I was a kid, my Nan showed me this, and I did it well into my teens. Here we go. Here is the recipe. No, take a reasonable slice of cheddar. Dip it in tea to make it moist. That's an odd start. Roll the moist cheese slice in sugar until it's coated and then eat it. It may sound rank, but it's actually delicious.
No,
I've since become vegan. And it's not the same with vegan cheese alternatives, which is probably for the
that
best.
Means you've tried it again with different varieties of vegan cheese. Oh, that's just not right,
so
man.
So dipping cheese in tea and then rolling it in sugar.
That's fucked up, man. Just don't do it. Just eat a bit of cheese and drink your tea afterwards or some shit. Like, don't mix the two.
Dipping. Like, there are the weird ones. Like, you know, I think when I was a kid, I did used to enjoy, like, dipping McDonald's fries into a milkshake.
Yeah, but, I understand that. That's I feel like that's a lot more common than fucking dunking your cheese slice in tea.
it's all weird, but for me, it's like, what do you want your cheese to be sweet for? Like,
yeah.
I don't know, sweet cheese.
I get if you're making a cheesecake and you're putting a bit of sugar into your mascarpone.
Yeah,
like, no, this is all sorts of bad.
Matt doesn't approve of much of this. I think a lot of this chat makes him ill, which is why I do encourage you to send in more to IGN_UKfeedback@IGN.com. We've got more, though. Matt.
Okay. We've got one in from Alan Franks, who I think we've heard from before. He says, hello, pals. You might not recall, but a few months back, you asked for food combos, and I told you about the Fancy Man, which is bacon in a croissant. And how my first step into the culinary world was to place bourbon biscuits inside bread, which of course is exactly how you do it.
I would like to actually hear from any listeners we have who just make food normally, like make a sandwich, like just stuff like that, or put milk in cereal, just normal things.
Do we have
like
any
that.
Chefs who listen to this and can react to this, these disgusting questions?
Chefs react to IGN feedback.
That's a cheese being dipped in tea.
Anyway, Alan continues. You pricked my interest again with this delightful butter chat, so I would like to add to the conversation. Despite my relationship with unorthodox food combos, which you could genuinely hear Matt recoil at, I have a girlfriend.
Wow.
I don't believe eating shit would prevent you from getting a girlfriend, Alan. You may have very many other qualities. I myself, reasonable cook. Don't have a girlfriend. It's not mutually exclusive.
Don't dunk cheese
in
tea.
You've got to start rolling your cheese in tea.
Rolling.
Is that just what a Tinder profile's got to be? Just like a vine of someone rolling cheese in sugar?
I might make one and the profile picture is just some cheese being dunked into tea.
Zero matches.
You don't want to attract that sort of attention though, do you?
It's certainly eye-grabbing.
Right, back to Alan and his girlfriend. She has recently moved in, and I was listening to the podcast while I was cooking. We were just rustling up some classic fajitas, nothing weird this time.
Good.
She heard the butter chat.
Can be done.
She heard the butter chat, and she went to tell me that she used to be a bigger human when she was younger, and when she used to get home from school, she would get butter, or sometimes margarine, mix it with tablespoons full of sugar and eat it out of the cup while watching Hey Arthur.
Hey Arthur, that's a lovely touch. I've got a full image now.
Before her mum came home. I want to know, is it Arthur or Hey Arnold? I don't know which one. Like, is Hey Arthur an actual show? Is that what Arthur
It was just called Arthur, wasn't it? I think what Alan's done there is mix up Hey Arnold and Arthur and create Hey
Arnold. So now
Hey
we
Arthur,
don't know which one is the true.
It's a crossover I'd like to see, to be fair.
I think we were made for each other. She's a healthy human now, but she did have her first fancy man 2 weeks ago, so who knows what this will reignite. Thanks for the countless times you've made me laugh and smile. All the best. Spread it and see. Spell S-E-A. I'm trying for a new sign-off. Hope it catches on and doesn't make you sick in your mouth.
That made me feel ill.
I'm not against it. I'm not against that. There we go. That's another weird one.
Wait, you're not against the butter and...
Mixing sugar and butter and eating it by the spoonful. I mean, I wouldn't do it personally.
Just fucking eat whether some I'm watching normal food, man.
Arthur or not. Yeah.
Mix those things appropriately and don't just fuck around.
The fajitas sounded good. Have more of them, yeah. Alan. Have more of those. Treat yourself to those. And the odd fancy man. I don't mind the fancy man. Bacon and a croissant
sounds
fine.
Fancy man sounds all right.
Yeah.
As long as you're not microwaving the bacon. Cook the bacon. Jesse.
Yeah, this is from Andrew. He says, "Hi guys, greetings from Boston. I was looking for some mindless trash to put on while I was doing a bit of Sunday cooking, a big pot of red sauce and penne, if you must know, and I turned to The Wolverine. Not great, I'm aware, but it had me thinking about how there hasn't been a proper Wolverine game. I'd love to see Corey Barlog and the Santa Monica team take on a Wolverine story that spanned three different time periods that you could seamlessly swap between, just like the medium does with their two worlds. We could explore young Logan during World War II or Vietnam into current-day Wolverine, and even into the future of Old Man Logan. Considering what Santa Monica was able to do with the emotionally stunted Kratos, I'm sure they could tell an excellent story around the complex character of Logan. Additionally, my grandmother didn't do anything mad in the kitchen, but her pizza of choice was Papa John's with extra garlic sauce. Boff. That's him adding that. And she would let us... Wait, and she would let us light whole boxes of matches on fire just to see what... Wait, what?
Just to see what would happen. That's wow. I mean, okay. Probably a fire.
Yeah. He goes on to say, love the podcast and everything you do. Hope you're well. And for God's sake, respect the sea and grandmas.
You've got to respect the grandmas.
I must
always
say,
respect the grandmas.
I was waiting through this story. I was like, when's the butter going to come into it? Yeah. I didn't realize we got a slightly more sane podcast relevance.
Exactly. We've got something with a good idea. I do feel like, I mean, they're probably working on God of War 2 and whatever else they're working on, but they would make a good Wolverine game, wouldn't they? What was the actual not bad Wolverine game?
It was based off the film.
It was
right,
based off
the
Wolverine, yeah, wasn't yeah. it? Or was yeah. it, no, Wolverine Origins, I think, yeah.
Yeah, 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 it was.
It was on the 360. Demo for that game crashed my Xbox 360. I had an Xbox 360 that never red-ringed, and I had it for like 3 years, and it red-ringed when trying to play that demo.
Wolverine doesn't take any shit.
But yeah, I can imagine that God of War combat, but with just big metal blades coming out of your fingers. Or knuckles, even. But, yeah. That sounds good to me. I'll let them know. Do it.
Yeah, that's good.
Why not? Yeah. Just do it. Just make it. Should we clip this out and just send it to Corey Barlow, see what he thinks?
Sounds easy enough to do.
Done. Easy. Hello, Simon from the future here, with a little brief aside. I am nothing but a man of his word, and I did actually contact Corey Barlog with this idea. So, Andy, you've got your reply. This is genuinely a reply from Corey. I've not made this up. So let's see what he thinks of your Wolverine game. He writes back, "Hey Andy from Boston, that sounds like a cool idea. You know, I've always wanted to tell a Wolverine story, only something a little different. I imagine a world where Logan takes a different path from the one we already know from the comics. One where he is mentored by a Kingpin-style character, so instead of taking the path we know as the bitter wandering hero, he is entrenched in the cutthroat, legalized criminal world of international business and finance. Over a decade of scheming and violence, he turns Logan Industries into the world's most valuable and powerful multinational corporation, clawing his way into positions of influence in governments and industry across the globe. He doesn't just beat the rival corporations, he absolutely fucking obliterates them and everyone associated with them, ensuring they or their families will never stand against him again. The battles are equally set in the boardrooms as they are in the streets. Logan dons the classically overpriced designer three-piece suits, smokes Gurkha Royale courtesans, and loves to close a deal with a gravelly, "Sign it, bub." It is a bloody look at ego killing the soul, the weaponization of non-physical anger, and the realities of the power behind the curtain. Basically, Wall Street meets Yakuza, all wrapped in a bracingly violent style of Paul Verhoeven. And you can pet a dog in it. So, you know, Marvel, balls in your court, bub. So there you go. That's what, sounds like Corey's been thinking a bit too much about this to me, and just maybe spend more time making that God of War game. I don't know what you think, guys. But, yeah. Back to all the other feedback. Bye! Podcast number six, even Christ. Oh, this week is, we're recording this on Thursday. It feels like this week's been about a month long. It's very cold as well, isn't it?
Just a bit.
Anyone agree with that? Just a bit. Anyone just want to chat?
It was particularly warm today, actually, for me.
Really? So,
yeah.
Particularly warm?
I've got some sun outside. It's quite nice.
Get a grip. okay, I've got the last bit of feedback here from David Ryan, who says, "Howdy. During the lockdown, my friend Chris and I have spent hours and hours playing Apex Legends on lunchtime whilst working from home." That sounds good to me. "Having a laugh and putting the world to rights with a good friend each day, even though we're shy to Apex, has been a wonderful distraction from the COVID chaos. I can't speak for him, but I simply wouldn't have got through the last 12 months without getting pumped in Kings Canyon on a lunchtime." Ooh, there we go.
Well...
"My question is this, which game has gotten you through lockdown that you'll look back on with fond memories when this whole shit show is over? Thanks, Dave from Ellesmere Port in England. P.S. Joe, is the Night Meals WhatsApp group still going on in lockdown?" Do you guys know what Night Meals is?
No. No.
It sounds cool, I think though. It's, too fair, I think it's only me, Joe, Krupa, who else is in Night Meals?
It's an exclusive club, it seems.
I'm sorry, it is. Let me just find the, God, where's the
is
last
this shit that you guys eat at like 2 a.m. or some bullshit
like that? It's Night Meals. Gavin Rory are also in there. Basically, it's just, it's a no text WhatsApp group. So you're not allowed to put any actual messages in. And all it is pictures of like fried chicken and kebabs from when we're drunk at 3 a.m. And, Gav's got a lovely one here from April of 2018, which is just a samosa and a pepperami. Very nice. but yeah, there's dozens of photos of bad takeaway food at 2 a.m. in there. Sadly, there hasn't been a post in a long time. Let me look when the last post was, but it will remain active. It's just dormant at the moment.
Not a lot of takeaways happening.
Just let me, I'm going to see what the last post was. Night Meals. Joe did one 1st of July, which was indeed some chicken wings and chips. So there we go. July 2020. The last post before that was July 2019. So there's been one post in a year and a half. So yeah. But anyway, how about the more interesting question, which is what game has gotten you through lockdown? Mine is definitely Warzone. That launched about this time last year. I think it was March last year.
No, it was
pretty much when lockdown started, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, well, it was, we had our first win in the office. The first time we played, no, the second time we played, we got a win. Because nobody knew what they were doing at that time. And then, like, yeah, I think the week after we were booted out and sent to the wastes.
Yep. But yeah, this definitely was, and I think I've played like 350 hours of that, which is actually like 60 hours more than Overwatch. Like, it's the first time in about 3 years that I've played a game more than Overwatch in a year, so it must be good. But yeah, it's just playing with friends, and yeah, that's got me like so many nights just playing that for hours on end. Mm. Not doing that well most of the time, but occasionally having those moments that make you look good. yeah, I love that game. I've been floating around the idea with a couple of friends. I've been playing with Krupa a lot, and recently with Stefan from the BBC, and we've flown around this idea that I should really make a feature with his top 10 Verdansk roofs, which is like the best roofs in Verdansk to camp on and snipe from, which will make a lot of people angry because no one likes a camper, but sniping in that game's very fun. So
are you one of those bastards that, you know, there's that building where there's three sets of ladders inside, and there's kind of like you could climb the ladders and you get to like a tiny little balcony that's in the roof of, can't remember what the building's called, but there's another building opposite where you can see all three of the hatches where you can come up through the, up through the ladders. And that is a sniper's paradise because no one else can see you aside from if you're on that building.
I'm not quite that bad. My favourite is one, it's like a hotel building in the northeast of the map, which is like near the Frozen Lake. That's a great building, that one. But yeah, I may do a refeature. But yeah, it's got to be Warzone for me. What about you guys?
Definitely played a fair bit of Warzone, especially towards the start. And that was really nice because it was a case of they're friends from kind of before I lived in London that kind of like, mm-hmm. you know, you haven't had a huge amount of reason necessarily to chat with. But for me, it's not a video game. It's Dungeons and Dragons. Like play with a group of people and I've never had a long running campaign before. It's always been like little one shots that we play almost more like they were a board game, as in like, oh, you know, we've not got anything going on. Let's play some D&D. Mm. And now it's a case of like, there's a group of us that on the first week of lockdown assumed that we'd been locked down for like 6 weeks. So we're just like, oh, we can do a tiny little D&D story. And that's been happening every week now. For almost an entire year, and we're on our third campaign.
How have you been playing it? Like, what have you been using?
So you use D&D Beyond, which is kind of like a free tool, which you build your character in that, and that's free. Our DM uses books. He's got the actual book, so he plans in advance. But to play, you just create a character in D&D Beyond, and when you want to roll dice, it's literally got a physics based dice system in it, so you click a button and it chucks the dice across your screen, and then does the thing I like about it does the maths for you. And Dungeons and Dragons doesn't require a lot of maths, but I'm just not very good at quick mental arithmetic, so I like it that, you know, if you roll a 10 on the dice but you've got a +2 modifier because you're better at this, it will add that to it automatically.
No, that sounds really cool.
So we're on third campaign. All my characters are currently in hell at the moment, which is nice.
Really right for you.
Yeah,
that's what along with all the cheese dunkers.
Oh, absolutely, just down there slaughtering cheese dunkers.
They deserve it.
We think we should change the age old fans of the podcast from duck hunters to cheese dunkers. If I can get that officially ratified,
certainly
I'll
works well.
The motion. Yep. We'll need some sort of parish council meeting though to get that done.
Yeah, of course.
Yep. Jesse, what have you been doing in lockdown?
Not necessarily just like, you know, spend a lot of time on one particular game, but just really just live streaming on Twitch, just going through my back catalogue. I was able to finish Little Nightmares 1 for the first time, Dead Rising, Fallout New Vegas, and currently playing through the Yakuza series, which is really, really enjoyable. Those games seem to be perfect kind of lockdown games, to be fair. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a lot of live streaming, really.
As well. Nice. Just always on. Switch your little head off.
he's a live boy. He's always got to be live.
He's live.
Always got to be plugging.
Well, if you've, of course, got anything you want to tell us at IGN_UKfeedback@IGN.com. Oh, a little bit of breaking news has just caught my Ratchet & Clank release date, the 11th of June. So not far away now to play the new Ratchet & Clank.
I must say, I've quite enjoyed, oddly, there not being a huge amount of games out at the start of the year, because it just meant stuff that I never got around to playing or wanted to replay. Actually, quite a nice little chunk of time to get all that done before anything good comes out.
Yeah,
I just started replaying God of War, because they released the PS5 patch.
Strong choice.
To finish that.
I was in. Yeah, oh, it's a good game. They should make a Wolverine game. Don't know if anyone's had that idea. But I'm taking that now. Anyway, this has been a pleasure. I haven't got any idea of what music to play.
Is there like a Heinz Beans theme?
There's so many Heinz Beans themes over the years.
Yeah,
Beans,
so many.
Beans, Heinz.
But I don't really... I feel like they don't deserve that from us, from what they've pulled this week, to be fair.
I mean, technically it was Weetabix. They were the...
Yeah, I was going to ask, who's to blame, Weetabix or Heinz Beans?
Weetabix more, I think. But Heinz were complicit in this whole scenario, so... we've played the Last of Us music so many times, I don't want to play that. Yeah, do you know what? It'll be an absolute surprise what I pick. How about that?
I can't wait to listen.
How about some actual music? What about a pop song? Let's get some pop. Yeah? I don't know. See you later.
Just work it out. It's your job.
Cheese dunk.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Yes, no, maybe. I don't know. Bye. me now. You're not the boss of me now. You're not the boss of me now. And you're not so big. You're not the boss of me now. You're not the boss of me now. You're not the boss of me now. And you're not so big. Life is unfair.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.